Nachos Amigos, and welcome to Record Breakers, a music podcast where a group of friends gather together to share music with each other, an album at a time. It's like a little book club for music, fun time had by all. I'm Petey Rave, and here with me is my team, my squad, my crew, my gang. We've got David.
My format, Guardian, to mend and defend.
We've got Brett.
I'm bringing back from last night my Stay Puft Marshmallow Man that I got when I was like three, and it is still frightening and haunts me to this day. Because boy, let me hold this up to the lights so that it can get extra glow in the dark, so they can stare at me. But just the eyes of the mouth.
For the audio listeners, it is quite spoopy. It is quite spoopy indeed.
Thank you. Anything else?
And of course, we've got Drew.
Ahoy, ahoy.
You're wearing like for the people not watching, Drew is wearing a Cavaliers hat, of course, but he's got a shirt that in this lighting I cannot tell what variety of maroon or purple it is, but he looks like somebody's Trapper Keeper had a Twitch stream.
And then my camera.
For the kids out there, it's sort of a Magnum PI aesthetic. Kids, ask your parents.
But it matches his hat in that lighting. Like he went and got color swatches and like was like, gotta get that Cavalier maroon.
Yes. But aside from
drift.
Aside from his drip, the provider of, we're going to talk about music, of course, as we all do every week.
Drew the drip god.
And the provider of the album this week, aside from the provider of the drip, this week, is Drew. Drew, what have you got for us this week?
Look, I'm not the provider of the drip. I just copy Ric Flair's drip. So,
you're definitely wearing a Nature Boy robe right now, yes.
But no, I brought a band of brothers, and not Hanson, and not Army-related. Brought some guys from Manhattan, New York, making music pretty much out of their apartment. Electric indie pop with a lot of weird influences. Adam, Jack, and Ryan, otherwise known as AJR, and their album OK Orchestra, that I brought.
We got a ground lift. Ground lift somewhere.
I haven't done any drugs tonight, so I don't know where that buzz is coming from.
Is that me?
I think it might be. Whatever you just touched. Ground yourself, Petey.
Yeah, I muted myself, but it was still going.
I don't know. All right, is it still going?
There, it went away.
I replugged in my headphones.
Hey, unplug, replug.
You found the earth.
Well, number one.
That's what I get for standing up to look for something.
The audacity. How dare you?
I think he uses Audition, right, Peter?
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about expectations before more things start to buzz. David, what were your expectations coming into this album?
Oh, that's funny. That's funny if the people at home knew. Gotta beat the buzz. Buzzer beater.
Yes.
My expectations for this album, I didn't really have any. But when it came to electro indie pop, it sort of gave me an idea of what was to come. Maybe not the most danceable, hot boy and or girl summer friendly type of pop music. But something that might have a beat and some sounds that might be kind of fun. And since it's with three dudes who are brothers that have initials for their name, I can respect that. I respect initialization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brett, what were your expectations coming into this album?
I just what I was told, that this was going to be some weird electronic poppy stuff. No clue about who these folks are. The album art did not tell me a whole lot. Though there is a tree that's wrapped in a horn. That's not good for the tree or the horn. But I'm here for it. But no, I really had no clue. God, as I kept listening, I've had the whole entire problem of how do I even, yeah, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that. I wasn't sure what to, I didn't know what to expect initially, because I hadn't, like, the name hadn't registered specifically to me. Some of that clarified the first moment I listened to I played the music video that was linked of their hit single, their big hit single. But at first I wasn't sure what to expect, as far as like their sound and their approach. And then things started to clarify, and then I kind of like understood what to expect, kind of. But let's talk about what they are musically. Drew, how would you describe this album musically?
Well, the brothers themselves, for one, are multi-instrumentalists. They all play a little bit of everything on everything. There's also a weird mix of samples. When I think of sampling, I guess I think of the sampling in the traditional hip-hop sense, where it's you're taking something and you're speeding it up, you're slowing it down, you're putting bits and pieces, but it retains most of the original, like, idea to it in some way. You can hear the past in it. This doesn't really do that as much with that. A lot of, like, weird spoken experts. The music is a weird mix. They're taking a lot of, in my opinion, especially on this album, taking a lot of, like, musical tropes, sort of, like, a lot of old style of, like, rhythms and singing parts to sort of push something that becomes very catchy. It is not, like, these are not, like, club bangers per se, but there are things where if you're digging on it,
I want to go to that club.
Groove into it.
I don't.
Be a weird club.
Yeah, I bet there's some interesting folks.
No, they're not.
But the weird parts to me, the cool parts of something like AJR is like realizing that, like I said, it's three brothers, and especially a lot of this being recorded during a pandemic. They're just sort of in their apartment alone, just sort of figuring it out. So being a fly on the wall when they're picking and choosing sort of what sounds that they're going to do is weird. And that's, I guess, where a lot of my interest in the band comes, is that it's fun music. The music itself is at times uplifting and upbeat. The lyrics, sometimes not. Sometimes don't match that. But you know me, juxtaposition. But it's overall a fun time. There's like 50s and 60s like ideas in here, but it all sounds like super modern, which is weird. It's hard to describe, and then you hear it and it's like, it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. David, how would you describe this album musically?
I would describe this album as pop music that isn't necessarily danceable. It's made as pop music to be pop music, but it's not Friday night going out with your friends, hot boy and or girl summer pop music. It's pop music by definition. It's well composed. It's well constructed. These gentlemen are talented. It's pop music that you can't really dance to.
Mm-hmm. Brett, how would you describe this album musically?
Okay, at times it's almost like a parody of music that you'd find for like an allergy medicine advertisement. Like, it's got some of that going on. Other times, fairly sentimental. There are some strong young artist angst and uncertainty going on here. There's like, you know, also some like sounds that, like, if you took the vocals out of some of these songs, the music would not be out of place in like a YouTube video soundtrack or something. There's some whimsy
audio
pop.
Network-esque.
Audio Network is brought up multiple times in this, in my notes. But yes, massively produced pop music with a dynamic with the dynamics of the music being very much like dance or electronic music. So the beat sits at about the same level as the vocals, which tells Brett, who knows nothing, that they probably think that both are about as important to the songs, or they want them to be the driving force. Or perhaps lyrically, they're trying to say that you can do a melody with a drum, but then to kind of make them, yeah. There's a lot of feeling in the groove. There's a lot of power in the hook. There's a lot of the stuff that you get from pop music, but there's also a lot of effects going on here. There's some like selective choices of how they record things. So like sometimes there will be a whole lot of invasive room noise. Like it'll be like, oh, that's definitely somebody blowing a saxophone in like an empty bedroom or something. Whereas other things sound like studio, and they do that in like for effect. There's also some shifting of like their vocals will be sort of blended in with a string instrument that then gets like turned into a snare drum, and then like just follow the pitch along. And they do that all over the place in here. It's like their go-to. But like also like there's something to be said for like all of a sudden in a tightly clean and like electronic beat to have like a piano that's got like room noise and isn't exactly 100% in tune. Like there's something to that. But yeah, it's that kind of pop album, not, you know, I want to really, really, really want to zig a zig ah, you know.
It's very it's a pop album. It endeavors to be more like what makes sense for certain sections of what pop music is now. It endeavors to be very bombastic and anthemic, and it works at that. It is accessible in these pop style. Anthems for millennial white boys. Like, it's very much that.
For the record, like, David did not say that. Thank you.
There's an ambition there, at least. But it is very much pop music. There's very little subtlety in like the lyrics and the themes and things like that. And they're talking about the club bangers. They're not club bangers, but they're certainly conference call bangers. They're convention bangers.
Can you tell me what is a conference call banger for
something
the record breakers
something
listeners.
Something that can be played
Mumford
in the
Sons.
Background. Mumford and Sons. I would also say that
Adele.
They're like Imagine Dragons.
U2.
You're gonna be
music
a,
that is recognizable.
I like you too.
Semi-professional setting,
Uno,
and they're
dos,
going to play
tres,
this because it's good enough to get people like, oh, okay, but it's not offensive to anyone.
Oh, so family. Stuff that's played at the grocery store.
Exactly, that's the other thing.
If it's got a banjo in it, and a bunch of white people, all with braids or buns.
I one of the things I was thinking of was like, man, this might be something he Shazam, that Drew Shazam while he was out on the sales floor every once in a while.
For new listeners of the podcast, Petey and Drew both worked at Best Buy.
Yes.
Retail establishments.
Yes.
Love the shit.
Exactly. And it's fine, and it works, and it has a sound. I think, you know, I like the sentimental, and not to dunk on Drew's words, I like the sentimental inclusion of the idea that they recorded it in their apartment. Like, it's 2021. You can have Abbey Road in your apartment. Like, it's they recorded. They're also still signed to BMG.
One of them is a PhD candidate, according to the internet.
So there's no.
One of them was in an episode of SVU.
Exactly. It's fine, and it has the anthemic sound, and it's definitely very much a going for anthems for like a certain generation. It's not very subtle. It wears a lot of influences on its sleeve. It's some of the like hip hop, indie pop, alt pop sounds. It includes some of that like those little like touches that is included in those sounds as well. And they do it well, but let's drill into some of the key tracks. Drew, what would be some of the key tracks to zero in on?
Sorry,
drill it in. So the OK Overture, the first track, because I'm me. Lot of vocal samples. Straight out like shoving in your face, like, hey yo, rhythms are important to what we do. And then sort of like I said, that sort of like dance in your chair sort of thing. Bummerlands, definitely is that one where if I could make an inference, Brett said, it sounds like a commercial. If Bummerland didn't have the lyrics that it did, if it isn't in a commercial already without lyrics.
Flonase. It's sell some Flonase with that.
I was thinking some sort of medicine, like your
antidepressant. Gotta have the chimes, because that's how you sell drugs in America.
You have an interstitial for the NBA.
I'm not taking an antidepressant.
That right before the dunk contest.
Yeah.
Yes. This is exactly the kind of music that you play right before the NBA slam dunk contest.
White people love that stuff.
Adventure is out there. Weird on this album just because it's a little, like, not completely, but a little bit more simplistic in, like, its use of instrumentation and sound. Especially through the first half. It builds up nicely, but it does start things simple, which I think is nice. Bang is the one I think everybody that has had TikTok for more than like a month knows, because it's in a bunch of thirst traps.
I only go to TikTok like once in a blue moon, and I only hear the Eminem resurrections of like hits from when I was a child.
Yeah, that song was used. There was like a thing you did, and then when the beat hit, you would be switched into a different outfit. So a lot of people used it to switch into like sexy clothes, and then I got cosplayers doing it. And
that's
I snap on the beat. I put on my Strongly Dislike the Police shirt.
Exactly.
My sexiest outfit.
Man, you guys are on a different. You guys are on a different part of TikTok I've seen.
I honestly cannot even describe the things that TikTok has tried to think that I was into. It's banned in nine countries.
TikTok sent me a guy at one point that dances to Super Rad with the green screen being dumb things that happen to conservatives.
Like, I mean, that's COVID, a good use of Aquabats. I mean... There have been we have deployed the Aquabats for lesser things.
Exactly.
But the last one to bring up for me would be way less sad. A happy sounding song about being kinda not that happy. But like coming out of it. Like, you know what? Like, yeah, no, like life sucks sometimes, but I'm getting out of it. Like I'm gonna be okay. Which I think is nice. Like that sentiment in pop music isn't there a lot.
David, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Adventure is out there. Now, let's go back in time for a little bit to the age of Nicktoons and talk about one Douglas Yancey Funny. A lefty, crafty lefty, wore a green cardigan.
I believe he had a dog named Porkchop.
He did. His favorite band was The Beats.
Oh, yeah.
This stuff. This fictional rock band, along with their legendary hit, Killer Tofu, also had another hot banger called Where's My Sock?
Chap Lipman had a good part on that album.
You do not get to talk about your socks in a song unless you're talking about somebody else or you are the most uninteresting person on the planet. And this is me we're talking about. But it goes from there. The Trick. This song thought it was clever and quirky. It thought. Christmas in June. It took all the way to the final track of the album where I thought, all right, I can kind of move a little bit to this a little, but a lot of this was more electro than pop for me.
Mm-hmm. Brett, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
So Bummerland, it's right next to Knott's Berry Farm. Us Midwesterners don't get to go to Bummerland as often. This one is an example of one of those songs where the beat and groove are straight out of Audio Network. And the acoustic piano and vocals have that room noise. The thing where they blend, this is where they first do the blend vocals and instrument and strings and strumming and like beat and stuff. And it finishes strong with fake digital horns, which, you know, fake digital horns have a sound like straight off your Casio. Like there's a thing to be had. Adventure is out there. I thought we were going straight into a Tears in Heaven, because the like, oh man,
yeah,
that yeah. The Trick, they do also the strange vocal effects, but this time it's like a surreal, warbly Dolly Parton crossed with Tiny Tim. I say no more. The World's Smallest Violin. It's a very weird song, but they do some of that blending in the different instruments, like again in a way that is where that's like their you know, that's their gimmick. There are Vibra Slap in this album. There are like, you know, who's who of novelty instruments. Like I will tip my hat for that. There is a lot of effort, I can only describe to you weird noises I heard, because that's this kind of album and my kind of taste.
Yeah. I mean, what catches the attention, the we're talking about key tracks, obviously the Bang was in an Apple ad and it's all over TikTok. So like, you know, kind of where it fits in the musical landscape. Way Less Sad, I'll give the shout out because that's the one I randomly, just out of pure chance, while I was in this last week, I was leaving the house to, I think, run errands, I think we'll get groceries, and my Android Auto was acting up, so I just switched over to the radio, or I think like Spotify wasn't launching, and while I was on the road, so I was like, I'll switch to the radio, and I heard this song on 104.3 The Shark, South Florida's alternative radio station. It's like this random thing, but it is definitive proof that it's radio friendly. Just to let you needed more. But I will say specifically the note I have for World's Smallest Violin is just one simple sentence. They most likely are not giants.
Yeah. I mean, they're there. I mean, they are also probably weird and awkward, but yeah. I know they might be giants. They might be giants or good friends of mine. These are no, they might be giants.
Yes. Let's bring it back around the horn and talk about some conclusive thoughts. David, what will be your conclusive thoughts on this album as a whole?
I actually wrote in my notes that I didn't know who this was for. So thank you, boys, for pointing out millennial white boys, because I literally wrote in my notes, is any of this fun? I'm not sure who this is for.
Balmer.
Oh, Balmer has better taste than this.
He doesn't. I mean,
I'm sure,
yeah,
he does.
We both know that's true. Yeah.
I also wrote in my notes,
he's ELO.
Here is the news. This feels like The Lonely Island without the jokes. And The Lonely Island without the jokes is something I really do not see myself really digging into very deeply. Yeah. It's art pop that doesn't really make a statement or tell a story.
Crayon art pop.
Yeah, dull, unsharpened, even. If you enjoyed this, but by all means, but I'm sorry.
Does my password start with a one or a two?
This is normally one of those times where I would be telling Petey to give in to his hatred and his rage and to cut a promo on an album. And if any of the other boys want to do that with me, I wouldn't stop them. But truthfully, in the case of this, I honestly just don't have the heart, because they seem like nice boys.
They're already getting their money. Like, yeah, what we care or don't care about is only for us, and I don't need that.
And our amazing Record Breakers listeners and viewers at twitch.tv/rebellytv, the thousands and thousands and thousands of fans of the Record Breakers podcast,
the Breakies,
and the millions watching at home.
I didn't care for this very much.
Brett, how would you conclude on this album as a whole?
I mean, I see the skill that's on display, and I respect the work. I did not fall in love with this. This is, nobody could have foreseen that I would not be into this, but I'm telling you, I'm somewhat not into hyper bright and fun sounding pop music, and like, I enjoy the indie rock stuff of a certain era, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna like all of it. And I don't feel that I am the target of youthful angst music anymore. I think I've kind of outgrown that as a thing that I need, and if I do, I'll just play the Smiths or something. Yeah, I've already got a shoe that fits on that foot. So I just don't think that there's any way that my relationship's going to work out with this album. I'm sorry, it's not them, it's me, and that's okay. I mean, I'm sure we know that there are people that will love them and be nice to them, but I would just, the relationship would end up being toxic. I'm doing them a favor and saying no. And not, I'm not saying never, but not now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this one was, I could see where I could see what works for them, and we can all see what works for them. The success is evident.
Yeah.
I can see what works for them, and they're succeeding, and they're doing well, and I think that they are tight music makers and talented producers. And they are succeeding, so it's not for me. They don't care. Their fans don't
guys,
care.
Guys, come on. This is our music podcast. Why are we
like 800 why are we holding back our opinions? Like in the comments, Glassjaw folks will show up.
Why are we trying so hard to be nice with our opinions? It's our podcast.
Because we're a source of positivity. We're the light that shines in a dark internet where everybody's an edgelord. We're just like we're dull lords.
I'll keep it 100. I didn't like this album very much.
Yeah, I did not like this album. I think I can appreciate what they could do, but I didn't care for the sound really. I get that it's ambitious. I get that it's anthemic, but and they had big ideas, but their end goal was just okay. Like the what ended up the end product was. You know, it's not really
mean,
for
I
mean,
I've worked on a garden over COVID, so like, I mean, they made something.
So
they did. They made a thing and some money.
They did. They did.
So, but that's enough for my thoughts. Drew.
Last but not least, your thoughts, Petey. We want all of your thoughts.
Drew.
But
last but not least,
that's not the role that I get to play.
Yeah.
How do you think about
Danner? Drew, last but not least, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
It's weird. Every once in a while, I need an album that I don't think about. If that makes sense. It's an album that, like,
I don't even think about you.
And throw on and not really like really have to think about like what's going on, like who's in the room, like what's happening. It's
yeah, the
it's
cat
an album
with
where
two
I
heads.
Appreciate.
Whoa, the cat with follow a cat with two heads when you're in Aquabania.
Yeah.
Sorry. But it's something where. It's pop music, and it's done by guys who seem pretty proficient in making a hook and making good pop music. Not the hook that has the harmonica at the end.
Not canon in D.
It might have helped, though. Might have helped.
They're not fat white boys. They're skinny white boys.
We're talking about top of hook. Is hook good? Hook, you good?
Is Rufio around?
It's something that this pop music in general, weirdly enough, like in modern day, especially this type, not for everyone. But it's something
demonstrated
that, like,
by this show.
It's something where I think like. I've made stuff not like this, but I've helped create things in a similar manner where they probably worked that never saw the light of day. And the fact that, like, people are paying them a lot of money to do this type of thing, I think is cool. Like PD said, like, there's obviously a knowledge that goes into it. And yeah, it's 100% not for everybody. But, like, it's something that, like, if I need background music and I don't want something that is sounds like it's from a sci-fi movie from 1983, like, this sort of, like, easy, like, pop music, I think, is somewhere where I can throw it on and not worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are our thoughts
on. Don't like jazz music.
Yeah. Those are our thoughts on AJR's OK Orchestra. Now we get to the main event of the evening, the moment we've all been waiting for, where we sum it all up in poetic format with our haiku reviews with the Fast and Five. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Haiku numero numero uno. David, what is your haiku?
Well-constructed pop. A bit stuffy and stilted. Not much groove. Not fun.
Brett, what is your haiku?
Some really skilled lads. Heavily produced pop songs? Really not my thing.
Mm-hmm. My haiku. Just millennial things. Ambitious sad bro anthems. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Drew, last but not least, what is your haiku?
Serotonin pop to make you bop around, but not for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And you know, those are our thoughts on the album of AJR, OK Orchestra. Go check it out. It is on our Spotify playlist. Play Record Breakers at home. Do your due diligence and your due diligence. Follow along at home. As we go along, we got two playlists. We got one with episodes and one without. So if you want to kind of just go through, listen to the album and immediately follow up with the playlist with the episode once it's out.
Follow along with my descent into madness.
Yeah. Yes. I will say for the next week's record, is my option. Let's stick with that. Let's
gonna
stick
exercise
with
his team option.
Oh, yes. Thank God. I still have no idea. I was really afraid mine was up.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring back a beloved group and their latest record. We're bringing back Korean indie group Love X Stereo, who we've covered quite a few times of the show. And we're going to talk about their latest record that they released, I believe, earlier this year, I think late last year, Xennials. it's going to be interesting to talk about. It's a cool album. So
better not be any more anthems.
Otherwise,
it is electric indie pop, so we'll see. But I think it's better, much better.
I'm bringing a Cannibal Corpse album.
Yeah, but yeah,
I'm gonna find a Weezer somewhere.
But that'll be next week, and this is this week, and you can of course find us all over the internet. David is at
Brandon is at King Cass.
Exactly. David is at Call Me DJM. Brett is at Hibbity Bibbert, HIPBITYBIBBARD. Drew is at XDrucifer X. I'm at PD Rave. The show is at 4 Record Breakers. That's the number 4 Record Breakers. RecordBreakersPodcast.com. RecordBreakersPodcast@gmail.com. Rebelly.net for this and other shows. Rebelly TV on Twitch, as well as YouTube. Watch us live on a weekly basis. We do Dungeons and Dragons on Tuesdays with Through the Tomes. This podcast every live every Wednesday, where we just do join us and hang out in the chat. We also do Space Trucking on Thursdays.
Hong Kong.
We do Starbound. Goodness, have fun with that. I also do PD Plays Fridays, where I play through single player campaign games, kind of like some games. Right now I'm playing through Mass Effect 1, visiting my favorite gaming franchise of all time, which I love.
Down to Blue Lady.
Yeah. So look out for that fun. But yeah, check us out everywhere you find podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud. Share. Like, share, subscribe, do all the things. Until next time, hasta los huevos.
Doodaloo. Rebelly Podcast, baby.
Fighting.
I'm a big fan of the lick that I didn't want to talk Toodaloo over. Okay. I mean, that last one was a banger too.
Hear the lick. Did he play the lick?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.